You're listening to Real Faith Radio, presented by Praise Chapel Las Vegas. This is where real faith meets real training. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play Music to get instant notifications when new episodes are available to stream. You can also visit our website, PraiseChapelLasVegas.com, to find out more info about PCLV and visit our event tab to see what's going on this month. Lastly, like our Facebook page and follow us on Instagram at PC Las Vegas. Thank you again and enjoy the message.
Stand up, amen. How many friends in this place? Come on. We should have friends, amen. Friends are a good thing, amen. But today, let's receive the word of God, amen. And so let's empty ourselves and allow God to speak to us, amen. God has moved. Man, what a tremendous time in worship. Come on, you feel the presence of God? I mean, God was moving, amen. God is just, God is doing some great things here. And so let us continue to keep our eyes open, our minds open, and let's just receive from God today. Amen? So let's bow our heads, amen, as we get to receive. Father, I thank you for every single person that's in this house, Lord. And Lord, we ask that you would move, Father, as you prepare us, Lord, to receive your manna from heaven. Father, Lord, I pray for those that have an ear will hear what the Spirit of the Lord will say to them. Father, that we will leave changed and renewed in spirit, Father. We come against every assignment from the enemy, and we cast it down, Lord. Any type of hindrance, Lord, we rebuke in the name of Jesus. That your word will go forth with power, that it be effective, Lord. For your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Let it penetrate into our spirit, into our bones, Father, into the deep parts of us, Father. Lord, that you would minister to us, Father. And Lord, we thank you. And Lord, we give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. I want you to turn around to somebody and say, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you guys. Go ahead and grab a seat today, amen. Promise to get you guys out of here real quick. That way you can have some barbecue chicken sandwiches, amen. Hallelujah. So if you had no plans, you got plans now, amen. So visit the cafe there and support a good cause while getting your feet on, amen. Praise the Lord. Last Sunday, amen, as I started that theme song, amen, of You Got a Friend in Me, amen. I want to finish up the message I started last week, amen. If you didn't catch that message, as my son said, you can catch it on SoundCloud, amen, Google Play, all those platforms. I don't know. Just check out our website, amen. Praise the Lord. I just preach. He pulses it, amen. I don't know how the whole thing works, amen, but if you click it, you'll hear it, amen. Hallelujah. But last Sunday, I started on a message entitled true friendship, amen. How many know it's good to have a friend? We need friends, amen, hallelujah. But, you know, there's friends, and then there's true friendship. You know, the world has a lot of friends out there, but let me tell you, when things get tough and rough, amen, those friends seem to bail on you. But true friendship, they're always there. You know, hanging out, amen, talking, just like they're doing here right there. They're just talking about, amen, are you, amen, well, I wonder what's going to happen at PCLV today and stuff. They're working at PCLV. They're walking there, amen. And so great, great thing to have friends, amen. I had a lot of great friends, true friends in my life, amen, and some have passed away, amen. That's why people don't want to be a friend of mine anymore. Hallelujah. Everyone I become friends with, they die. No, I'm playing. But. Not all of them did, amen. Some passed away, but she's still alive. She's still here, so it's okay now. The curse is broken, amen. But no, but real, I lost some good friends of mine, amen, that passed away, amen. Growing up in the neighborhood, friends, and now And then you got the friends that in the church. And my best friend, David Arabella, became my friend and leader that had taught me. That's the reason why I'm here today is because of him. He imparted into my life. We had many moments like that of walking together and talking things and where I need a true friend to guide me and show me things. Amen. Well, you know, as we went to last week's message, amen, after David and Goliath, and we're talking about David and Jonathan, amen, true friendship in the Word of God, amen. After David killed Goliath, people were singing about David, amen, and David had great, great favor. God gave him great favor. He had awesome victories over his enemies that made Saul jealous. Jealous enough that he wanted to kill David, amen. But what helped during this time, amen, of his most intense things in life, God brought David a friend. We look at true friendships, and we see the friendship between Jonathan and David. And so today, I want to continue how to discover to gain relationships in the midst of our trials. See, we naturally love relationships, amen, because we're made in the image of God, amen, because God is also a relational God. Can somebody say amen? So God loves us and desires us to fellowship, to love, and to connect with one another. And I want to finish up on the steps to take in order to make friends that last forever. Amen. I hit on one step last Sunday, amen, which was what? What was the step I told you? Take the initiative. Take the initiative. We got to initiate relationship, amen. And I hit on that, amen, and minister on that. And like I said, amen, if you didn't catch that, check it out on SoundCloud, amen. And that is my only commercial I'll throw at you right now, amen. Praise the Lord. Second step, we're going to go ahead and continue on that, amen. Jonathan, we've seen, initiated relationship with David. The second step, now I'm going to give you some steps here, so I'm going to go along, amen. So just keep stepping with me, amen. Second step, practice generosity. Practice generosity, which means the quality of being kind, understanding, and not selfish, having a big heart. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 4, the New Living Translation says this, Jonathan sealed a pact by taking off his robe and giving it to David, together with his tunic, sword, bow, and belt. True friendship gives. Love is shown through giving. Can somebody say amen? Come on, don't you feel love when you receive something? When somebody gave you something? For me? Yeah, wow. It feels special, amen, to receive something. So friends, amen, love is shown through giving. True friendships, let me tell you, never keep score. Come on. You know, it's not like, you know what? I bought last time. It's time for you to buy me something, bro. There's no score in this, amen. It's not like you went out to lunch, amen, and you went out and you bought him a steak dinner, and now he wants to buy you a Happy Meal. You're like, hey, what's up, bro? You still owe me $5 more of lunch here. See, true friends don't keep score. Amen. You got to understand, unless that friend is cheap. Don't look at him right now, amen. But there's those ones that are tied, coupon clippers, and there's nothing wrong with that, amen. But don't look at them either if they're coupon clippers, amen. Everybody's trying to save that buck, amen. But true friendships don't look at that. You know, they don't repay back because looking at, man, we got to keep score here. No, friends will just give because they want to give. They'll buy because they want to buy. Doesn't matter. They're not looking at to get rewarded back. You know what? You're going to pay me the same amount or even more. Notice what Jonathan gave David. When I read that scripture, he gave him precious items that a king, listen, a king could have. Come on, a kingly robe was a, you know, come on, this was top line stuff. He didn't give them cheap things. It wasn't a coupon sale. a kingly robe, amen. He gave him his sword. He gave him a bow. He gave him a belt. He gave him clothes that a king should have. You got to understand this, how this friendship is being built up and what he's putting towards in the future. What did David give him in return? What did David have, amen? He gave him what, an old tunic? Undergarments? Old undergarments, probably smell like sheep, dirty, probably had a little bit of Goliath's blood on it. But I can tell you, those old underwear meant a lot to David. I mean, I can tell you that, you know what? What he had, he valued, amen. Maybe he gave Jonathan his old staff when he used to tend his father's sheep. You know, see, Jonathan wasn't trying to look for something that you can top. Can you top this kingly robe? Come on. No, he gave him what he had, what was mattered to his heart. And Jonathan took it with appreciation. The point is, Jonathan was generous. He wasn't looking to get something back in value in exchange, amen. See, friends are generous. Come on, somebody say amen. Acts chapter 20, 35 says this, remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is more blessed to give than to. See, the Lord himself says it's more blessed to give than to receive. See, a lot of us like the receiving part. We say we'd rather stay on that end of it, amen. But God say, you know, it's more blessed to give. To give. To give your life. To give. To bless. Amen. That should be in our heart. We as people of God should be generous. Come on. We shouldn't be tightwads. We shouldn't be tight with our things. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with saving a buck and stuff. But in reality, man, when time giving comes, we should give it generously. Without any grudge, without any, you know, none of that kind of attitude, amen. You know, we should give with a generous heart. I mean, giving or offering time should probably be the best part of the service. Woo, I get to give back to my God. That really, rightfully, belongs to him anyway. It's more blessed to give than to receive. The question is today, church, are you giving into your relationships? Come on, are you giving your time, your finances, your love, your abilities? I mean, you can go on and on. Are you giving into your friendship relationships? Friends and families throughout my life have given me things. They have blessed me. My family and friends have blessed me with nice things. My own family has blessed me. My wife has blessed me. My kids have blessed me. There are times where they have blessed me that I can't, you know what? I can't give that back to you equal. This was too much. This church has blessed me. You know, all I say, well, here's my old underwear. That's all I got. Amen. There's times that I just don't have nothing to give back, but true friends don't expect anything back. Appreciate it, but friends give generously. It's about being that, not expecting anything in return. This is how friendships flow. And so does generosity, guys. When you start to just give out of your heart, you become a happier person. When you can bless people and see the lives being touched and doing things for people, it should bless you. Not think back, man, I should have just gave him a 10 instead of a 20. Hey, bro, can you give me 10 back? That's kind of cold, huh? But our generosity should flow as our friendships flow. You know, I have a Filipino friend at work, amen, and he's not a saved guy. And I'm not calling him a true friend. He's a friend. He's a friend that I'm ministering to, trying to get him involved, pray for him when I can, amen. But But he's a young guy. He's probably 25. He's like my son's age. It's like if I'm hanging out with my son, my oldest son. And so he took a liking to me, amen. And what's not to, amen? You know, I'm just playing. I'm a cool guy, amen. But he'll always come out and he goes, hey, bro, I got it, bro. And he'll buy lunch for me. And last time, you know, we went out to this place and so I didn't know who he was buying, so I ordered some steak and eggs, you know, and said, you know, I'm hungry. I'm just going to eat some steak and eggs, man. And he says, oh, I got it, bro. I got it. I said, are you sure, man? He goes, yeah, yeah, don't worry, man. You can get me next time. That's okay. But next time, amen, it was a dollar menu, amen, hallelujah. And that's where we're going. And he goes, can you get me, bro? And I said, I got you, man. But, man, I feel bad because you bought me steak and eggs and I'm buying you a Happy Meal or something. But he said, no problem. He wasn't looking for that. Friends, give generously. God is a God who gives and he keeps on giving. Come on, somebody say amen. Come on, he wants us to keep flowing in giving, church. Long-lasting friendships practice generosity. Amen. Another step. This is a hard one for some of you guys. Be honest. Be honest. How many know that honesty helps keep friends? Honesty. Come on. Don't hide anything up front. Amen. See, friends will tell you what you don't. Friends don't tell you what you want to hear. They tell you what you need to hear. Come on. You know, if you're just keeping a friend by just telling what they need to hear, you know, then you're not a friend. They need to hear what they need to hear, not what they want to hear, not what you want them to say. You know, you got to just tell them the truth. Come on, somebody. In other words, be real. Be real with people. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't say anything else. Be upfront and say, man, you keep on doing that, bro. You're going to mess something up. You got to be honest with people. See, Jonathan and David were honest with each other, amen. They were real with each other. In 1 Samuel 19, 1 and 2, the NIV says this, Saul told his son Jonathan and all the attendants to kill David. But Jonathan had taken a great liking to David and warned him, my father Saul is looking for a chance to kill you. Be on your guard tomorrow morning. Go into hiding and stay there. See, this is a true friend, amen. He went out. He was open and honest. He says, you know, bro, my pops wants to knock you out, bro. I said, you know, he has plans. You better just take off, go in hiding. I'll let you know when it's all clear and close, amen. So this is a true friend here. Proverbs 24, 26 says this, an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Question is, have you kissed anyone today? Have you kissed anyone with some truth, with some honesty? See, a kiss is something that's very desirable. Unless you're my granddaughter, who does not desire to kiss me at all. She's going through, I'm hoping it's just a season. Amen. Grandma, no problem. Grandpa, run. Same thing with my grandson. He's growing older, so now he's kind of cool. And I always tell that boy, get over here and give your grandfather a kiss. Give your papas a kiss. He called me papas. Hey, give me your papas a kiss. Come on. Everyone's looking. I'll bring him out of the church. Kiss me right here, boy. Pucker up. And he is that you kind of just go like this and see if his friends are around and he go, hurry, hurry up. All right. But at home, he does that. And first thing I do, he knows. He goes hiding. And I said, Jade, I know you're somewhere around the house, man. You better come out and give me a kiss. He goes, oh, do I have to? And I said, yes. I said, when you get a girlfriend, I'm going to kiss you right in front of her. So you better get over here and give your grandfather. I don't want no kiss on it. I said, give me a kiss right here. Right here. That's how we were growing, amen. We kissed, you know. Come over here. It'd be a shame of me. My wife hides from me when I want to kiss her, amen? Everybody's hiding from me, amen? People are dying and now they're hiding. But it's true. She calls me Pepe Le Pew. I don't know if you ever seen that cartoon, amen? Pepe Le Pew was what? And who was he going after? A cat. I mean, just, this is me, man. She's like, just trying to get away, amen? I mean, I kiss my wife for whatever, amen. I'll even kiss her when she's sleeping in the morning. I'm going to work, and she'll go, no, no, no. I'm hideous. I haven't brushed my teeth. I said, I don't care, girl. Pucker up. No, I haven't brushed my teeth, no. The point is, church, a true friend speaks the truth. It's like a kiss. In the spirit of love, amen. Whether it's good or bad, when you need to approach someone and tell someone about something, amen, you got to tell the truth. You got to be honest, amen. It's as welcome as a desire kiss. You know, I have a quote, amen, you can hurt me with the truth, but don't comfort me with a lie. Just tell me what it is. Tell me what it is. Be upfront with me. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't try. You know, it's not going to change my friendship with you. If you're open and honest, I prefer that than you to lie to me to comfort me in my situation. Tell me the truth if you're my friend. Let me give you a few guidelines, though, when correcting someone. Listen, encourage in public, correct in private. When you have friendships, you will encourage in public, but you correct in private. Don't correct them, amen, when they're down or upset. Real friends don't rub it in. They rub it out. Come on, when they're going through a thing, don't try to bring correction, amen. Their mindset's already there. They're having a bad day. Don't try to minister to them. You got to get them when they're right. Come on, don't try to rub it in, man. You're wrong, man. What's wrong with you, bro? You know what? I'm going to let this guy cool off a little bit when he's right in mind, and I'll go minister to him. You know, you got friends know each other. You got to feel each other out. Never correct unless you are yourself is open for correction. Come on. We get a lot of people that are self-righteous, amen, holy roll, karabasa, whatever, amen, and they don't take the advice when it comes to them. Come on. If you're giving it, you got to take it. Come on, don't think you're Mr. Perfect, amen. Come on, that you're up here and you're down there, your friends are down here. No. You got to be open for correction yourself. So we are to initiate. We are to practice generosity, and we are to be what? Honest. Number four, remain loyal. Remain loyal. First Samuel 19:4 says this in the NIV. Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, "Let not the king do wrong to his servant David. He has not wronged you, for what he has done has benefited you greatly." So here he's speaking, he's loyal. Saul wants to kill him. Jonathan's remaining loyal to his friend. He said, "You know what? What's wrong with you, Dad? Everything that David has done has benefited the kingdom. Everything that David has done has benefited you. He's done no wrong to you." And throughout the history, if you read the story, amen, of him hounding and coming after him and David having his opportunities to take him out and not doing it because he was God's anointed and say, "God, I would not do that. God, you placed him there. How can I take them out?" No, opportunities. And where Saul had broken down and says, "You've done nothing, David. You've done nothing. Forgive me." Then comes back again. "Oh, kill him. I forgive you. Kill him." Kind of like some of us, huh, with our friends. "Oh, I hate him. I love him. I hate him. I love him. Want to hang out?" "No." "Yes." Yeah. Let's hang out. We kind of go with the feelings. But Jonathan remained faithful. Jonathan said, "You know what, Dad? He's been nothing but good to you. Ever since he's come aboard. Ever since he slain the giant, amen, you have gained great benefits through David's life. Jonathan stood up for his friend David, remained loyal to him. See, Jonathan was not a backstabber. He was not a two-face. He didn't talk behind David's back. Hello. See, Pastor, we love you. Amen. We'll never leave this church. And after church, amen, they say, oh, we're thinking about leaving. I know nobody here at PCLV talks like that. Church, it happens in all churches. It happens to all of us. But true friends, listen, true friends don't do that. True friends work it out, work it through. Come on. We work it out, we work it through, church. True friends will stand up for one another. Don't be talking about my church. Come on. Pastor, they're talking smack. You want me to take them out? No. Don't take them out. Break a leg. Yeah. No, don't take them out. Let them live. Let them live with a limp all of their life. I'm playing. You know why you're like that. No. I said, don't do it, really, don't. See, true friends, though, listen, true friends don't put up with slander. Come on. Jonathan and David had a covenant relationship. When Dad was talking smack about David, Jonathan was the first to say, you know what? He's done nothing to you. Leave him alone, Dad. What's wrong? He's a good man. Are you loyal to your friends? In verse 11, it says that King Ziba said to the king, or Ziba said to the king, your servant will do what my lord, your king, commands to do. So Mephibosheth, is that his name? David's, I can't pronounce that name. You know that his Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's servants. And he said to this guy, 2 Samuel, verse 9, 1 through 3. It says, David says, is there anyone left in the house of Saul whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now there was a servant in Saul's household named Ziba. He summons him to appear before David, and the king said to him, are you Ziba? At your service, he replied. And the king asked, is there anyone alive in the house of Saul who I can show God's kindness? And Ziba answered the king, there is still a son to Jonathan, and he is lame at both feet. His name was Mephibosheth. Brother Gary, help me out. 2 Samuel 9, verse 11. How many know his son, Jonathan's son, the one who was lame? He was lame at one time when they were raiding and went to go kill his son. When Saul died, his other son took ownership or leadership there. And as they were running and bailing, the kid fell. Mephibosheth. That's what I said. This fellowship, guys. Mephibosheth, okay. My friend the chef, amen. So here he is, amen. And David's asking, is there anyone left alive in Saul's household? Anyone that I can take care of, amen. Anyone for my friend that's left over from his household. And he goes, he has a son, amen. And he's lame from both legs, amen. He says, you know what? Bring him over here. I want him to sit at the king's table. This son, amen, that was handicapped. Listen, David loved Jonathan so much. He was so loyal to him that when he found out that he had this son alive, he said, I want him to sit at my table. actually made him an heir to the household. See, that's what he remained loyal to him. He said, you know what? My friend is dead. My friend passed away. But you know what? I'm going to take care of his son. His loyalty didn't stop when he passed away. His loyalty was extended to his family. Proverbs 17:17, New Living Translation says this, a friend is always loyal and a brother is born to help in time of need. Friends love all the time, church. True friends are loyal. I'm happy to say that I've had loyal friends in my life. I'm happy to say that there are some here in this place right now. Friends remain loyal. The last one, guys. Base your relationships on God. I want you to listen. Base your relationships on God. 1 Samuel 20:42, New Living Translation says this. At last, Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for he has sworn loyalty to each other in the Lord's name. And the Lord is the witness of this bond between us and our children forever. And David left, and Jonathan returned home. The Message Bible puts it like this. Jonathan said, go in peace. The two of us have vowed a friendship in God's name, saying, God will be the bond between you and I, between our children, forever. This relationship between Jonathan and David had a common denominator, church. They both had the Lord in their lives. They both were compassionate for God. Listen, church, when you are selecting a friend, make sure God's involved. Make sure God's involved. Make sure that God is in the picture. Make sure that God is the common denominator between you. I mean, we all have friends that are not saved, right? Come on. But I'm talking about true friendship. True friendship has a common denominator, and it's God. True friendship have a common denominator, church. Guys, don't have a friendship with a guy who's getting high all day and cheats on his wife. You can't have a friendship with that person. Come on, you want somebody that has God in their life, church. Somebody that's going to stir you in the right direction, give you good advice when times and troubles come your way. You want somebody that really loves Jesus. You want somebody that's falling in love with God, that's serving the Lord. See, Jonathan and David had an incredible passion for God. Jonathan and his armor bearer would say, you know, the Lord will deliver us when they were in battle. David would say, the Lord is able, and he will deliver me. See, both of these guys trusted in God. That's who you want to have a covenant with. Now, when the boat's rocking, amen, they're not going to bail on you. When things are tough, amen, you want somebody that's going to give you godly advice to help you in your situation. You know what the problem with the church is today? We got our problems, and we don't talk to the church. We talk to the world. We talk to the co-workers. Guys are talking about their marriage problem to the cashier. Well, my wife doesn't understand me. Oh, I do. Oh, yeah, she does. You're going to friends, they're going to say, you know what? If that was my wife, I'd leave her. And they do that. Why is that? There's no friends. There's no common denominator. There's no one that they're building a relationship with. Come on, they're coming, amen, but they're not building relationships. And that's why people fall away from the church, because there's no solid relationships. And so when the world's coming all apart in your life, amen, the only ones that you think that are listening, you run to the world because they're there to hear. And they're there to hear, church, by design. The enemy will put a friend right there to hear and agree with you. Yeah, I know what you feel, girl. And pretty soon, you're talking about the church. They're not there for you. I'm here for you. You got to be careful when you select friends, guys. These men trusted God. These men were there. These men, when they were going through the storms and the battle, said, you know what? God's going to deliver us. God's going to take us through. Not give up, forget it, start over. These friends were there. Both of them trusted God. Come on. You can't have friendship with somebody that's unstable, church. That unstableness will rock you and take you down. See, Jonathan and David, their souls were knitted together. It was a calm. God was common in their lives, amen. That common thing kept their friendship strong. You know, when we're going through our storms, God's our common denominator. When things don't look good, God's the common denominator. She trusts God. I trust God. You know, we may not like each other at the time or moment, amen, or whatever the storm is, but you know what? God's going to get us through. We always come back to the common denominator. God, you're going to fix this. God, we're going to get through this. God, it may be ugly right now, baby, but you know what? God will be here. God will deliver us. God will help us move forward. And he's always done it because it was based on God. When I have things, I have someone I can call who has that's a common denominator as well. That you know what? I run to my God faith friends. I speak to them. I need advice. I need direction. And I know that my friends, if God's a common denominator, will give me the right things to say in my life, to help me and gear me and steer me to the right direction. When David was on the run from Saul, when David was running like a fugitive, it was Jonathan that helped David find strength in the Lord when he needed it the most. I'm pretty sure that there was times in David's life, man, I'm going to take this guy out. I'm the next anointed king. Why is he hounding me like that? I've done nothing wrong. I'm pretty sure he asked God a few times, can I take this dude out? Can I just end this? Come on, have you ever told God that? Can I just get this one? Come on, don't look at me all innocent. I never say that. You're too holy. Come on, we go through these things, but it was Jonathan there helping him when he needed the most help. In 1 Samuel 23, 16 to 18, New Living Translation says this, Jonathan went to David and encouraged him to stay strong in his faith in God. Don't be afraid. How many of us need some friends to tell you, bro, don't be afraid. Come on, sis, don't worry about it. You're going to get through this. Your marriage will make it, amen. It's going to be okay, amen. I know that you just lost your job, but you know what? God's going to help you find your strength in God. Keep your trust in God. We need some friends, amen, that will tell us, you know what? Don't be afraid of the situation. Don't be afraid of the storm, amen. Have your faith in God. Stay strong. And it goes on to say that Jonathan reassured him, my father will never find you. You're going to be the next king of Israel, and I will be next to you, as my father Saul is well aware. So the two of them renewed a solemn pact before the Lord, and Jonathan went home. It's the last time he's seen Jonathan. He says, you know what? My dad's not ever going to find you. You're the next king. You're the next king. Don't be afraid, David. Don't be afraid. You're next in line. You're God's chosen. So you've got to encourage each other. Say, you're the next this. You're the next that. Keep it up. You're the man of God. You're a great man of God. You're a good woman of God. Your children are great. Your children got callings. You've got to speak life to each other. And tell them you're going to get through this. I don't care how it looks. I don't care how the storm is. Don't be afraid. That's what the enemy wants. Don't let your emotions run, amen. Hold on and just trust Jesus. See, friends, you got to have friends in the Lord. You got to base them on relationships that have God as a common denominator that will tell you these things. Do you have friends to find strength in God in trying times in your life? Or do you walk away and say, nope, I'll just figure it out? See, the enemy wants to take you to a place of, I'll figure it out. Because that's where he'll demolish you. That's where he'll tear you up. The Bible says that he roams around like a roaring lion seeking to devour you. He's looking after his prey. And when you're at the most vulnerable part of time in your life, he'll just jump on you. See, when you reach the end of your rope, when your chips are down, guys, when you hit your dead end, when the lights are going out, it's your midnight hour, and your fat lady's already singing. Don't look at anyone right now. Let me tell you, that's when you need a true friend. That's when you need a true friend. When you ran about out of your options, that's when you need a friend. You don't need to give up. You don't need to bail. You don't need to say, forget this. I tried it. It's too hard. You don't need to do this. You don't need to run back to your past and embrace something. A lot of us, we run back. It's okay. We run back. We shackle ourselves to the past. We shackle ourselves to the one that mistreated us, thinking that it's going to be all right. Well, I'll get even at him. I'll get even at her. James chapter 2:33 says this, and so it happened, as the scripture says, Abraham believed in God, and God counted him as righteousness because of his faith, and he was even called a friend of God. Remember the song we used to sing? Who are you that you're mindful of me? I mean, like God's thinking about you. You're on his mind. He knows where you're at. He knows your circumstance. He knows your situation. He's mindful for you. I am a friend of God. And he calls me friend. You're a friend of God, church. God will always, always be your friend. Are you friends of God today? Because God wants to be yours. Churches, when we're going through some seasons in our lives, relationships, marriages, you need a friend that's based on God. You need someone that's going to stir you right and encourage you to keep fighting the good fight of faith. You got to keep trusting, guys. You know, when David came into my life, my friend David came into my life, I was at a point in my life, amen, that, you know what, God, I've given you my life. I surrendered everything. I said, God, I'm not going back to my past. I'm done. My life was messed up, and I wanted God to heal it. And even as I gave my life, it seemed like it wasn't going to work. You know what? And then the enemy came in. He says, you know what? There's too much damage here. This is not going to get fixed. Your wife's hurt. The love is gone. You might as well just forget about everything. Amen. You know what? It's good that you're saved, but maybe this is not going to work out between us. But it was David, my best friend, that came and encouraged me in the Lord. He says, Lord, you keep praying, bro. You need to pray. You need to do this. He told me to do as a husband and things that I needed to do as a man of God. that encouraged me. And even though it didn't look good, I kept the faith. It was my turn to pray. She prayed for 10 years for my salvation. I said, now I'm going to pray for my marriage. It created a prayer life in me. And he taught me how to do that. He taught me how to find strength in God. He showed me scripture. He sat down. He spent time. He spent moments. And he said, you know what? He's this and this. And I look back and I miss my friend. He was always there for me. And our common denominator was God. A good friend of God. When I lost him, I lost a world there. We had plans. Man, we talked about plans, him coming out and us preaching out here together and doing things in this church. He was my biggest cheerleader. He had banners made for me. Amen. This guy was all out for me. He said, woo! But he was sick. And even though he was sick, he was rooting me on. A week after I got sent out, I had to go bury my friend. And I searched on another friend, and just things weren't the same as they were with David. I found my friend. My wife's my friend. Where is she going to go? We're stuck together, man. I'm trying to look around for a friend, and God says, she's right here. She's the one that's been sticking with you the most. She knows every story that you have to tell because she lived it. That's what a friend does. She lives your stories. We live each story. We don't just talk about it. I was there. I remember. Yeah. But she remembers how God moved. She remembers how God restored. She remembers what God has done and what he's done out here. I have a friend that reminds me where we're at. Got to find a friend, church. Base it on God, a relationship with God, and watch what God would do in your life. Chips are down. Come on, you need somebody that's going to lift you up. Amen? Let's all stand up.